This is the Carolina Catholic Radio Homily of the Day featuring Father Mark Lawler of St. Therese Catholic Church of Mooresville, North Carolina.
The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus said to his disciples, "Do not be afraid any longer, little flock, for your Father is pleased to give you the kingdom. Sell your belongings and give alms. Provide money bags for yourselves that do not wear out, an inexhaustible treasure in heaven that no thief can reach nor moth destroy. For where your treasure is, there also will your heart be. Gird your loins and light your lamps, and be like servants who await their master's return from a wedding, ready to open immediately when he comes and knocks. Blessed are those servants whom the master finds vigilant on his arrival. Amen, I say to you, he will gird himself, have them recline at table, and proceed to wait on them. And should he come in the second or third watch and find them prepared in this way, blessed are those servants. Be sure of this, if the master of the house had known the hour when the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You also must be prepared, for at an hour you do not expect, the Son of Man will come." Then Peter said, "Lord, is this parable meant for us or for everyone?" And the Lord replied, "Who then is the faithful and prudent steward whom the master will put in charge of his servants to distribute the food allowance at the proper time? Blessed is that servant whom his master on arrival finds doing so. Truly I say to you, the master will put the servant in charge of all his property. But if that master says to himself, 'My master is delayed in coming,' and begins to beat the men servants and the maid servants, to eat and drink and get drunk, then that servant's master will come on an unexpected day and at an unknown hour, and will punish the servant severely and assign him a place with the unfaithful. That servant who knew his master's will but did not make preparations nor act in accord with his will shall be beaten severely. And the servant who was ignorant of his master's will but acted in a way deserving of a severe beating shall be beaten only lightly. Much will be required of the person entrusted with much, and still more will be demanded of the person entrusted with more." The Gospel of the Lord. Sometimes I hear the question, "What is faith?" Well, we have a definition of faith from the second reading today from the letter to the Hebrews. Faith is the realization of what is hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It was tied, connected with the virtue of hope, what is hoped for, and the evidence of things not seen. It's interesting, I was thinking about that. A detective, and I've known a couple of good detectives, a detective is looking for evidence. And certainly there's, we can see in this context, there's evidence that is seen. There's also evidence that's not seen, perhaps the effect of something. And so the evidence of things not seen. Faith is a divine virtue with hope and love. As the Apostle Paul wrote, faith, hope, and love. Faith is a gift. It's a free gift. Just thinking of gifts in general, when I was growing up, one of my aunts, who had never had children, so my brothers and my sister and I were like her children, and sometimes at Christmas time, she would give us gifts, and again, we kind of make jokes and said, "Well, what am I going to do with this?" You know, it's kind of a gift that I don't have a use for. Well, faith should never be a gift that ends up on a shelf or in the closet, but it's a gift to be used, opened and used. I can remember when I was a seminarian 30 some years ago or so, and I was on one of my summer assignments, and the pastor, who was elderly, would send me out to bring communion to the sick or to visit some of the parishioners. And most of those experiences, the people were very welcoming and were appreciating someone coming from the church to visit them. Well, he said, go over to this parishioner's home. Says she recently had surgery. So why don't you go over and check up on her and see how she's doing? And again, I was used to being, welcomed in some of these situations, but I called her and made arrangements to go visit her home. And it was a totally different experience than what I had had before. I didn't know her. I had never met her and didn't know the background of her story. And I came in and she was very bitter and very frustrated. And she had had a surgery on her hip, but it was not successful, and she was unable to walk. And she was really very frustrated, and she basically directed that to me, as kind of a representative of the church. And I remember her saying, and it's kind of a chilling thing to hear, she says, "I am about to lose my faith." And in her pain and in her suffering, she felt as though she had been abandoned by God. And again, I didn't have much experience in pastoral care at the time, but I just tried to convey to her that I didn't know exactly what she was going through with this surgery that was not successful, but I was sure that God had not abandoned her. Even in her suffering, she had not been abandoned. Really, faith entails trust in God. And just think about it in general. We entrust ourselves to others all the time. Certainly, we entrust our health to physicians, to pharmacists. We entrust our health to those who prepare food for us at restaurants and things. We entrust our lives to pilots and all the crew. We entrust ourselves to those who work on our brakes, make sure that we can stop our cars. Faith involves entrusting our lives to God, God who has created us and redeemed us. In letter to the Hebrews, we have the witness of Abraham, our father in faith. Now, Abraham had reached senior status, a time when many people like to retire and just relax, get caught up on things. He's held up as a witness to faith. He trusted when he was called to set out for an unknown land. Trusted God. He trusted God in the promise of a child, even though he was advanced in years and Sarah is referred to as being sterile. He entrusted the promise of a child. And he trusted in his willingness to even offer his son as a sacrifice. Our father in faith. Sometimes people will ask me about doubts. Well, doubts are not necessarily sinful, and doubts may help one to grow in faith. Now, in Scripture, there's often a connection between fear and a lack of faith. Think of St. Peter, who was walking on the water, and he feared. And our Lord said, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" Jesus said, "Fear is useless. What is needed is trust." I heard my dear grandmother say once, "Fear knocked on the door. Faith answered, and no one was there. I can see at every Mass, certainly on the weekends, every Mass, trust in the arms of a little child, in the arms of a parent or grandparent. That is really the fullness of trust. And we are called, Jesus said, unless you become like little children, you will not enter the kingdom of God. To have that childlike trust in a loving parent. Scripture has it that faith can move mountains, overcome obstacles. One of the things I realized after my ordination serving in parishes is that people would look to a priest as one who can give some spiritual guidance or spiritual advice. And I remember that was new to me too. I think, like, who am I to give spiritual advice? I'm on a spiritual journey myself. But as I've thought about this, and besides that, I'm really a very simple person. But I think that the spiritual life doesn't have to be so complicated. You know, there are some basics. I can remember reading when I was a seminarian, there were three verses, or really three phrases from the letter of the Apostle Paul to the Romans that have stuck with me all these years. And in a certain sense, I would say that would be the core of my spiritual knowledge. From Romans 12:12, rejoice in hope, endure in affliction, persevere in prayer. Those three things. Rejoice in hope. There's always hope. Hope is a divine virtue. Endure in affliction. Every person, certainly every family, at one time or another will know some affliction. The apostle encourages, endure in your affliction, but through it all, persevere in prayer. I'll use the example of our my limited spiritual advice. I'll give you an example from my brother and I. My brother is an expert carpenter. I would say that he's at the craftsman level. And I'm pretty much a novice, you know, a beginner. Just to show you the example of our works, my brother made these kneelers over here by the votive lamps. Very good work. And if you go on your way out, if you see the two little stands for the bulletins by the main doors, those are what I made. And if you say they look like trash, it's true, because it was all scrap wood, the ones that I made. But they hold the bulletins up. That was the purpose. Well, anyway, my brother and I were on a job some years ago, and I was not doing too good. And so I told him, I said, I think I need some new tools. And he said, no, you don't need any new tools. You need to learn how to use the ones that you already have. And I think that there's a certain sense we can apply that to the spiritual life. So we say, what are the spiritual tools that we already have? A living faith. How can we grow in a living faith? Certainly, just by the sense of spiritual reading, you know, beginning with Scripture, maybe some things like Magnificat or other, the Word Among Us, things that help us to grow in the spiritual life, the lives of the saints, looking things up. The sacraments, the grace of the sacraments, especially the Holy Eucharist and the Sacrament of Penance, these are the stepping stones to sanctity. Devotions, the daily rosary, the chaplet of divine mercy, chaplet of the Sacred Heart, a litany of the saints, all of these things, a life of charity, works of mercy, compassion for others, especially for the sick, or the elderly, the grieving, having a grateful heart. No, not looking at what is lacking, but appreciating what we have, a grateful heart. These would be some things that I would say of spiritual tools help us to grow in a life of faith. Joy. Joy is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. Joy in the Lord. Yesterday, I was very pleased to participate in the Eucharistic Congress and the procession through the streets of Charlotte with the Blessed Sacrament. And having spent 14 years in Charlotte before I came here, I spent time in the different parishes. And the first parish of Charlotte where the Eucharistic procession started, St. Peter's, you know, very close to the NFL and the baseball stadium there. And I remember learning about the history of St. Peter's, started around 1850 or so. And at that time, St. Peter's was on the edge of Charlotte. Now it's right in the heart of it, but it was in the edge of Charlotte. And just a few families. We even had a parishioner that I knew in Charlotte, and she remembered when there were only about 100 Catholics in Charlotte, when she was elderly, but when she was little, there were only about 100 Catholics in Charlotte. And I told her, I said, would you believe there's 100,000 Catholics in the Charlotte area, you know, the greater Charlotte area now? She couldn't hardly believe it. But just yesterday, there were thousands of people on the route for the procession, and people kneeling as the Blessed Sacrament passed by, the bishop and his deacons holding it, all the priests and all the faithful, people singing, and it really brought a tear to my eye. It was really a beautiful procession of faith, of living faith. I said, why did all of these thousands of people come here? Really put a part of a living faith. So certainly we can certainly grow as well. As our Lord teaches, where your treasure is, there also will your heart be. Very challenging as well. In this gospel passage, our Lord said, sell your belongings and give alms. We had the rummage sale this weekend, and for those of you who came by there, were probably impressed at all of the things that had been donated. I think I about broke even. I donated a few things, and I bought a few things, but the whole sense of people giving from the heart, and again, recognizing that we can all perhaps live a little more simply, but his not just getting rid, but the Lord says to give alms, you know, to really give from the heart to those who are needy. And also that there is a sense of a calling. Much will be required of the person who has been entrusted with much. So we come together as a family of faith, and we come here trusting in the Lord.
This has been the Carolina Catholic Radio Homily of the Day on Carolina Catholic Radio Charlotte, 1270 AM, also streaming at carolinacatholicmedia.org and on the Carolina Catholic Media app.